Hi, this is Deanne Sheridan, and it's a pleasure once again spending time with you in the Word of God. We're going through the New Testament line by line, studying all of our favorite topics and seeking answers to all the tough questions that we have in the context and flow of the Word of God. And we come today to Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 9. And verse 9 starts a long section that probably runs through verse 29, but we'll get as far as we can today. We're going to especially focus on this prayer in verses 9 through 11. And in this prayer, we have the prayer itself in verse 9. We have its goal in verse 10. And then we have the results of the prayer in verse 11. So this is an important thing to look at. So Paul starts out in verse 9 by saying, "For this cause we also..." And he said in verse 3, it says he gave thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And it says, "For this cause we also," he's going to make another prayer, "we also, since the day we heard it," and it's in italics, but it's something should be supplied. What did Paul hear? Well, he heard about these Colossians, people who didn't have an apostle. This Paul heard about their faith in Christ Jesus and love for all the saints, and he heard about these people from Epaphras. Since he heard about these people who had no apostles, but heard the message, heard the word of the truth, the good news of their salvation. And when Paul, since the day he heard about them, he did not cease to pray for them. He says, "I do not cease to pray for you and to desire or request in order that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Now, that's how it reads in the King James. And I think a better reading would be this way. Paul's desire, his request, was in order that you might be filled. You might be filled. And this fullness, what is this fullness? This fullness is the recognition of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In other words, the fullness is the recognition of his will. Understanding what his will is for the present, what his will is for the future. This is the filling. The filling is this recognition of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So when it says here, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, it's simply referring to a God-giving understanding based on his word. It's a God-given understanding based on his word. It's not something that comes to you in a dream. It's not something that comes to you through a prayer meeting. It's something that comes through a connecting with the facts, the truths of the Word of God. And this phrase here, in all wisdom, we see a number of times in Colossians. We see it in 1 verse 28, in chapter 2 verse 3, chapter 3 verse 16, and in chapter 4 verse 5. Okay, now that we've looked at verse 9, I want you to notice something very important here. We do not stop at verse 9. We reread it right into verse 10. So let's read verse 9 again and then go into verse 10. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it," about you people who had no apostles, who heard that message from Epaphras, "we do not cease to pray for you and to desire or request in order that you might be filled. And this fullness is nothing else but the recognition of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." And so that's verse 10. So we read verse 9 right into verse 10. So this recognition of his will is a living thing. It's an active thing. It's not static. He says he wants us to recognize this. He wants us to have this God-given understanding. In other words, to your walking, that's literally how we can read verse 10, to your walking worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. And I believe you should say, right after pleasing, put in the words, that is to say, he's going to further explain it, being fruitful in every good work, number one, and increasing in the knowledge of God, that's number two. So verse 10 is telling us that this knowledge of his will, the purpose of it is that we might walk worthy of the Lord. We can't walk worthy of the Lord without proper knowledge. In other words, we have to know something before we can do something. We have to know something about God's will before we can act in accord with it, to walk worthy of the Lord. And that word worthy is interesting, and I brought this up in our studies in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. And I'm just going to turn there real quickly. But in Ephesians 4, verse 1, Paul says, "Walk worthy of the calling wherewith you were called." And we discussed it in our studies there, so you can go back and listen to it. And we said that this term worthy is a life balanced with offsetting weights. So you and we talked about the word worthy, axios, is that is represented by the beam on the balance scales. That, you know, if you imagine those old fashioned balance scales where they would weigh money, the weights would go on one side of the balance, and then the money would go on the other, and the balance would even out when you knew you had the right price, when the weights equaled the amount of money. Well, here we're told that we should walk worthy of the Lord Himself. In Ephesians, it was of our calling. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, it was worthy of the gospel, worthy of the good news. And here it's worthy of the Lord Himself. He wants us to be walking worthy of the Lord. In other words, you have the Lord on one side of the balance, and us, our walk, on the other. And our walk will be worthy of our Lord. What a wonderful thing that is. And He's worth it. He's worth living in accord with it. Just like, you know, if you have somebody that you love in your life, you want to live a life and you want to treat them and honor them in such a way that honors their character, whether it's your husband or wife, so too we want to honor our Lord. We want to live such a life that brings honor to our Lord. So to your walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And how do we do this? That is to say, He says, being fruitful in every good work. That's fruitful in every good work. And these are what these works are. Well, we don't have a blueprint. It's laid out for us in these letters, but we live our lives. We let the Word of God fill us, and then we'll do the good works that that flow right from that. This is a dispensation of grace. God doesn't give us a list of things. You know, there were the Ten Commandments, but the Jews took those and added all kinds of stuff with the Talmud and all their other laws and things that they added to the Word of God. Even in the so-called Christian era, when you get to the monks and the nuns and the monasteries, they had all kinds of rules for living to govern every area of life. But God has not done that for us. He wants it to be fruitful in every good work, and we can only do that by knowing Him. And we know Him, we'll intuitively know what's right to do. And in other cases, when it's not so natural to come to understand what to do, we have to think through things. So God wants us to use our minds in the light of His truth to know what is well-pleasing to Him. So to your walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, that is to say, being fruitful in every good work and growing. I like that. That's growing. There's increase here in the recognition of God. Growing in the recognition of God in the full knowledge of God. So our life shouldn't be static. No, we learn who He is. When it says the knowledge of God, it's who He is and what He's done. Who is God? What has He done? What is His present program? What is His future program? We learn all these things when we talk about the knowledge of God. These are the kind of things we learn about Him. And then it says in verse 11, the result of the prayer, and it says in the King James, strengthen with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. A more literal rendering or a more accurate one is probably being empowered with all power according to the esteem of His strength. And you would think, oh boy, all this power and strength for what? Is it to do miracles, to heal the sick and raise the dead? No, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. The word patience is the word to remain under. In other words, we have to remain under the circumstances we're in. We can't get out of this this evil eon, this evil eon that's prone to destruction. We're in it, so we remain under it, honor Him. And it says in long-suffering, you know what that word long-suffering means in the Greek? It means to put anger far away from you. To put anger far away from you. And I have to tell you, my friends, I struggle with anger. And we lose our temper a lot, but guess what? I think the more we think about the grace of God, the less angry we'll become. Paul says, can you be angry and sin not in Ephesians 4? It doesn't say be angry and not sin as the King James reads. It's not a command to be angry. It's the question, can you be angry and not sin? And later on, he says, put away all anger. And the reason why is because anger never brings about God's righteousness. It never does. And so Paul says he wants us to be empowered with all power according to the esteem of His strength unto all patience and long-suffering, putting anger far away from you with joyfulness. See, we're not reigning yet. There are no signs, no appearances, no audible answers to prayer in this dispensation. We're simply waiting it out in expectation with the Word alone as our guide. And that's how we are. And so this is the prayer in Ephesians, Colossians 1, verses 9 through 11. We're not done yet. There's more to read, but I just want to sum up again what we've read. Now, we've been empowered. We're being empowered here in verse 11. And the question is, why are we being empowered? And Colossians 1, 9 through 11 is a prayer, has a prayer, it has a goal, and it has results. Now the prayer, again, I'm going to read it. It says, "For this cause I also, since the day I heard about you folks who believe the truth without having seen any signs, do not stop praying for you and requesting in order that you might be filled to the full. And this fullness is nothing other than the recognition of his will. That is to say, a personal and deeper connection with the facts of God's grace in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." This is a God-given understanding in connection with his word. So in this prayer, in verse 9, these Colossians, first, there's a couple things to notice. Number one, these Colossians believed without apostolic signs and wonders. A common man with love for the truth, a man named Epaphras, simply shared the message with these people, and he didn't give pulpit sermons, altar calls, or take collections, or hold religious services. Epaphras simply shared truth, and that's what true ministry is today, and this is what the Colossians experienced. And number two, Paul knew about the Colossians through hearsay. He never met them. Number three, Paul prays that they might be filled. What is this fullness? Well, it is number four, the recognition of God's will. The Greek word for recognition means to connect with previously established facts, and these facts concern God's grace in this dispensation. Now, number five, these facts are connected with revealed truths, not positive thinking or religious imagination. A spiritual understanding isn't some mind paradise where people hear voices in their heads. The understanding here is spiritual in that it connects with the facts of God's word. The words I speak to you, our Lord said, are spirit, they are spirit, and they are life. So that's verse 9. Now, verse 10 is the goal of the prayer. And here's how there's a paraphrase of verse 10. "This God-given wisdom is granted to you so that you can be walking worthy of the Lord with a view to pleasing him in every way. That means you're being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the recognition of God." So let's take a look at a few things regarding that. Number one, truth leads to action. Grace doesn't make us static because truth isn't static. Truth is balanced by the walk. Truth should govern us wherever our feet take us. Number two, we're to walk so as to please God in every way. And what are these ways? Number three, first of all, being fruitful in every good work. What are these works? We have no blueprint. We are to use our God-given understanding to figure these things out for ourselves. Now, religion likes to make good works. They put them in checklists. You know, you check this off and you've done it. Now, while there are some things we are told specifically to do, the rest is left to us to figure out. And just read Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians to find out what character should be ours in this dispensation of grace. And number four, he says, increasing in the recognition of God. There is a constant unfolding of God's character in the scripture and in our present life and also in the kingdom. Who is God? What has he done? What is his present purpose? What are his future plans? I believe we will be constantly learning more about God's wonderful character forever. Even after the resurrection, we'll be learning more. He'll be unfolding to us even more and more. So let's not wait till resurrection to learn about him, however. Let's get to know him more and more every day through his word. All right, now verse 11, here's the result of the prayer, and I'll paraphrase that verse again. The result of applying the truth in this way means that we are being empowered with all power according to the might of his esteem unto all patience and long-suffering. Again, long-suffering, a life where anger and viciousness is put far away from us with joyfulness. So let's take a look at a few things here regarding verse 11. Number one, walking worthy as a result of a God-given understanding is empowering. Number two, this power is in complete harmony with God's esteem, his established character in this dispensation in which he is dealing graciously with everyone. Number three, this empowerment isn't given to us to perform miracles. Number four, this empowerment is to enable us to do two things. First of all, it's to display all patience, not from time to time, but all patience. The word patience implies to remain under. In other words, wherever we are, in whatever circumstances we are in, we can remain in those circumstances with God and act in accord with his character in this dispensation of grace. There will be no divine deliverance out of circumstances, But he's given us power to live pleasing to God in the circumstances. So we can live a successful Christian life in sickness or in health, in poverty or riches. It's just simply up to us to apply these things. Second, he wants us to show all long-suffering. Now, the word means to put away all anger or viciousness. Anger and viciousness are incompatible with grace. There is no such thing as righteous anger for a believer in this dispensation. And then he caps off this verse 11, with the phrase joyfulness. This is the atmosphere in which we should live. We can live it. We are joyful because we know God and his plans and walk accordingly. And remember, there are no signs or appearances in this time of God's silence. There are no audible answers to prayers. And as a result, the greatest virtues a believer can display in this time of grace are patience and long-suffering. We are waiting things out in love, looking for that day when he will establish his government. Now, let's read these verses once again, straight through with these, with the thoughts we've expressed in mind. And I'm going to use a paraphrase. Well, it is a translation, but it's bringing out the details here in probably an easier way. But let's just read verses 9 through 11. First of all, the prayer. For this cause I also, since the day I heard about you folks who believe the truth without having seen any signs, you people who heard this message from that simple guy Epaphras, I do not stop praying for you and requesting in order that you might be filled to the full. And this fullness is nothing other than the recognition of his will. That is to say, a personal and deeper connection with the facts of God's grace in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That is to say, a God-given understanding and connection with his words. Verse 10, the goal of the prayer, that this God-given wisdom is granted to you so that you can be walking worthy of the Lord, with a view to pleasing him in every way. That means you're being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the recognition of God. In verse 11, the result of the prayer, the result of applying the truth in this way means that we are being empowered with all power, according to the might of his esteem, unto all patience and long-suffering, which is a life where anger and viciousness are put far away from us, with joyfulness. Well, that's a lot to take in, isn't it? It's a lot to take in, this prayer, and it's something we should reflect on a little bit. So I'm going to stop here, and I'll pick up in verse 12 in our next study. It's hard to stop sometimes. We can go through for a while because these passages have to be read right, you know, all right together. So we'll pick up in verse 12 next time, but we'll back up a little bit and then go forward at the same time because we want to get the context and the flow of what's being said here. I don't want to just single out this prayer, but for the purposes of our studies here, we're going to do that. But when we come back, we'll make sure we pick up and continue where we left off. All right, this is Dan Sheridan. I appreciate spending this time with you. May we reflect on this prayer and may it become true of us in our lives. And may we be walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Thanks for listening.